In today's podcast, we're talking all things artificial intelligence and sales and events. See you in a few.
Hello, I'm your host, Neil J. Lloyd, and in this podcast, we'll be exploring the latest thinking, core principles, and time-tested strategies to help you run, grow, and lead a truly successful business. One that gives you the impact and income you want on your terms. So get switched on, fired up, and ahead of the curve, as it all starts with you. From the inside out, you can create your version of business bliss. Let us help you get there faster and enjoy the adventure along the way.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by Jen Zakai from Assured Digital Technologies, who's at the Business Wisdom podcast with us today. Welcome, Jen.
Neil, it's great to be here. Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm really, really excited because I know a little bit about artificial intelligence, AI. I've heard about stuff on the radio, good stuff, bad stuff. I've used a little bit myself. I've dabbled with it, but I'm probably not using it as much as I could be using it. And I think there's probably a lot of people out there that are still, you know, thinking, well, you know, what actually is it, and how can I use it for my business? So, Jen, could you tell us, what is artificial intelligence?
Well, it's a great question to start with, Neil. And in a nutshell, AI is a computer system that is capable of doing tasks normally associated with human intellect, such as reasoning, analyzing, and language. Having said that, with the rise of ChatGPT that most people would have heard of by now, when you say AI, the first thing comes to my mind is ChatGPT, and the second thing is Skynet. AI is basically here to take our jobs, our tasks, and...
This is Skynet from the Terminator.
Skynet from the Terminator.
I know. Well, this is it. I mean, that people do have that image, don't they? There's a lot of scaremongering around this idea that, you know, AI is going to take jobs. It's going to all kind of like go terrible, and we're going to end up living in a post-apocalyptic world. But I think the reality is, well, at the moment, I guess, it's quite different from that. So, you know, what the types that you mentioned about ChatGPT? It's always a mouthful to get. And I wish they would change the name of that. Why can't they change the name and say something simpler to say?
I agree.
I've used a little bit of that. I've sort of asked it questions, you know, into my web browser, and I've come up with things like blog articles, for example. That has been a good starting point. But I kind of feel that I'm just scratching the surface with it. And I know there's, with AI, there's this kind of like this open source stuff like ChatGPT, and there's also proprietary software that uses AI. And I noticed little things that tools that we use now have got like little AI add-ons as well. So, I'm guessing, does that cover all the sort of what AI is in its entirety, or am I missing things in my understanding?
See, AI actually had been around with us for a long time. The computer AI, as we know of it, it has been around since the invention of computers, really. And have you ever speak next to your phone a certain item, let's say headphones? Have you ever repeated the word headphones multiple times? You open your phone, you go to your Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, and the ads suddenly turn into Amazon showcasing you a bunch of headphones, for example.
Yes, absolutely. This is where we had, I remember a conversation we had years ago about this. I remember saying, oh, no, it doesn't do that. I was thinking, I think we were just talking about a kayak, and both me and my friend had like adverts for like 4 weeks on buying a kayak.
Yeah.
We're thinking that is too much of a coincidence.
Yes, I mean, same thing happened to me just yesterday. I was talking about artificial grass. Now, all my YouTube is filled with artificial grass advertisement. And the reason behind it is, again, they collect that, the Google, the Apple, the Microsoft, etc. They collect all that information, and they have their own AI softwares, AI systems, collect that data and give you a relevant advertisement.
So advertising is one area that's been obviously... AI has been used because I suppose there's money to be made.
Yep.
What other types of areas has AI been used in?
Historically, again, going to the larger enterprise level, with them collecting that data, the massive information of data they have, and making actionable insights through that data, be it be better operations, be it be actually automating machinery for manufacturing, for example. That's been the main use cases for AI. Now, with the invention of ChatGPT, what's really changed is now the public and the smaller enterprises has access to this level of technology. And the previous to ChatGPT, interfacing with such systems required specialists. More often than not, you need to have a PhD to understand inner workings of AI, whereas nowadays, all you need to do is just type a simple prompt, and then it generates massive amount of information to you. And the ease of use had been the game changer for AI, really, and it's been the fastest growing technology of ever. It took Facebook about 5 years to get to 100 million users.
Wow.
And it took ChatGPT only about 3 months to do so.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's also scary, mind-blowing. and it's moving at a pace that is unprecedented. So much so that last year, text-to-video generators in AI was never heard of, and the research examples, and there's a good one, just type to YouTube, Will Smith eating a bowl of pasta. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. It was all over the place. You can clearly see this is an AI computer-generated thing. Doesn't even make sense. And within the span of 12 months, if you type the same search now, the results are phenomenal. It's almost at the level that can convince humans that this is a real video of Will Smith.
Wow, that is the scary thing. And of course, I've noticed that some people are sort of employing actors or actresses that look similar to someone, and perhaps they put a wig on or something like that, so they start and then they use AI to fill in the blanks and kind of create an image that's like someone else, a famous person, a politician, for example, or a celebrity. You can see where that side of it can. I suppose like anything, it's how you use these things. You can use them for good, you can use them for bad. But what I have noticed, like you've described, the quality of the AI image now is becoming much, much, much harder to tell that they're AI generated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you still can, because perhaps, you know, a lot of the AI generated for images and video, you can't quite get hands right.
Yes.
You're thinking, what's going on? But yeah, they are definitely getting a lot better. So what are some of the ways that small businesses, medium-sized enterprises are using AI? You've got some of your clients, for example. What are some examples of people using it to kind of like grow their business, or perhaps they're using it to get more sales or to do things more efficiently, that kind of thing?
So many use cases, depending on the department and size of the business, also the persona we're speaking to. But the main use cases that I see will be the productivity gain. So I'm not sure if you used it, the Microsoft Copilot, which I'm a big fan of.
I've seen it. I've seen a demonstration of it, and it does look amazing. Yeah, tell people how that works. Yeah.
Effectively, the Copilot is a ChatGPT on steroids, really. And Microsoft haven't done themselves a favor naming every single AI tooling they have Copilot. Doesn't really help the marketing. But what it is imagine your Microsoft 365 Office, so your Word, your Excel, your Outlook, Teams, etc., and having the ChatGPT built into it, really. But it goes beyond that and actually integrates with your organization's data. So it knows your tone, it knows where your proposals are, it knows everything where they're supposed to be. And at a personal level, that the way I use it, and a lot of my clients are starting to shift to that direction, is in regards to productivity gains, eliminating mundane admin tasks. That's been the biggest improvement of AI.
Hallelujah to that.
I mean, as long as I don't need to hold Control-C and Control-V, copy-paste things day in, day out, that's all I can ask for right now.
Hi, I'm Jake Weller from BC Media, and I'm here with Martin from FutureInns. How are you doing?
Good, thank you very much. Yeah. Yep, enjoying today.
Thanks for being here. So you work on the sales side of FutureInns. Kind of tell us a little bit about what you do in that domain.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I predominantly look after most of the sales side of the hotel. I'm responsible for kind of pushing the restaurant and also responsible for the events, wedding side of things as well. So I get to put together the brochures, what goes in, the ideas for Christmas, the events that we put on during the hotel as well. So that's all down to me.
Yeah. What do you kind of find is your favourite part and the favourite aspect of that then?
It's the flexibility and the creativity that I'm allowed to run with.
Yeah.
Because we're a smaller independent chain of hotels, we're allowed, you know, I'm not governed by a corporate head office, so which, you know, a lot of other properties are. Mm. So I can go to the boss and say, I want to do a certain event. They'll look at me and say, okay, if you think it'll work.
Yeah.
And they let me run with it.
Yeah, what are some of your favourite events then that you've run, that you've had, like, your most creative experiences with?
We've done, I suppose, the ones that surprised us the most, really, is we recently started doing some, like, afternoon teas with characters from a well-known company. That's, I'll say,
okay.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've taken off really well. And what we wanted to do here is that the gap that we found that was in our market was more around experiences. So we've targeted, obviously, people coming out, enjoying themselves, family getting together on a weekend. So come for afternoon tea, doing a bit of a sing-along with the princesses or whatever characters we've got on that particular day. So it's been good. And the feedback is brilliant as well, to know that actually it was a good idea and people have enjoyed what you've done. So
yeah, well, knowing that, like, something that you've planned out, you know, you spend a lot of time on, it's a creative idea, you're having lots of fun while you're doing it, when those things work out, that's kind of why we do it, you know. That's the
sure. It's that there's always that little bit of sense of, oh, have I done the right thing?
Yeah.
Or is it going to work? But then the following day, when you see it all comes together and everything is all set up, and you just think, actually, do you know what? It's better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And you just have that sigh of relief.
How do you kind of, like, go about, do you market test it first before you commit? Do you, like, have sales caps put in place where it's like, if we don't sell this many, we're going to cancel? Or, like, what's
it
your...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we do a bit of research about what kind of is going on around the area. Luckily for us, there wasn't, especially with the afternoon tea events we've done, there's very few people that were doing something along these kind of lines. So it was just that, do we give it a go?
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, there is got to be an element of you know, we've got to include, you know, we've got to cover the costs of the acts, those type of things, and obviously, you know, staffing the event. So if numbers don't come up to scratch, then potentially we do have to postpone things, which we'd rather do that than say it's really cancelled and we'll just push, you know, to another event or push it later down the line type
that
of thing.
Makes
so,
sense.
You know, there's nothing worse than cancelling something and losing people's kind of, like, faith in you as a business or so.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, what kind of, like, approaches do you take towards the marketing of events then?
Ours is a lot of done with social media. I say with Future Inns, obviously being a smaller brand, we don't have the big marketing budgets that you see that some of the other hotels will predominantly have. So a lot of it is done in-house. We do a lot of our own posters and everything ourselves. And then a lot of it is done via Facebook, via our rewards club members that we have at the hotel. So a lot of it is email and social media. And a lot of it as well is word of mouth for us.
Yeah.
If people come and have a good experience, they enjoy themselves, they're going to tell their friends.
Yeah.
Then their friends come along, and then likewise. And it just cascades like that. So that's our biggest way of pushing events at the hotel.
Yeah, fab. Well, tell everybody kind of, like, more about Future Inns as a company, kind of, like...
We're a small brand. There's only three hotels, Cardiff being the first one, and then Bristol, and we also have one down on South Coast at Plymouth as well. The company originally was Canadian. So when you come to the hotel, you tend to find everything is a lot bigger than what you would find in a normal hotel. The bedrooms are double the size. They've all got Canadian queen-size double beds in them.
Yeah.
So you'll find a lot of differences to us. All of us have our own car parks, which is a huge bonus to the hotels. Car parking is free, which again is a huge bonus for Cardiff, because a lot of places do charge additional parking fees now as well. So we've got a restaurant and a bar. All of them have one. They're all individual as well. So ours traditionally is Welsh kind of themed.
Yeah.
Bristol is got a steakhouse, chop house. And then Plymouth, obviously being down the coast, is more fish orientated. So
called
Fishbone. So,
conferencing
wise, to say we've got, you know, we can do anything in Cardiff between 2 and 210 people. Weddings, conferences, dinner dances, anything like that. And just family occasions. Come in for an afternoon tea.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, how can people get in touch?
You can get in touch. You can either go to our website, which is futureins.co.uk, or they can contact the hotel directly or contact me on my email address or phone.
Amazing. Thanks so much. Appreciate
Pleasure.
Your time.
No worries.
So one of the things I saw when I was seeing a demonstration of the co-pilot was, which I thought was amazing, was that they showed that a company could have a document that they've generated. Mm-hmm. Could be a proposal, for example, or it could be their end of year accounts, whatever it is. But then within about 30 seconds, at a press of a button, then the co-pilot could transform that into branded slideshow, so that you had then within 30 seconds a whole slideshow based on that document ready for you with all your branding there. I was thinking, gosh, that's really amazing, because that would take hours often, wouldn't it, putting mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. something like that, to do it in 30 seconds at the press of a button. What other things can Copilot do?
Just to give an insight on what else it can do, and this is something that I use on a daily basis, is let's imagine you just had a meeting with a client on Teams, and you just come off of it. What Copilot can do, actually take notes of that meetings and create actions on the back of it as well. Not just a transcript of the conversation, but actually what's been discussed, what are the action points, what needs to be done next. So at the end of it, not within minutes, within seconds, I have all that information available to me. And if I mention throughout that meeting, listen, Neil, I will send you a proposal by end of the week. The co-pilot knows that, and it pops me up with it. Here's your proposal template. Would you like to start working on it? I hit yes. It starts auto-populating all the information that we discuss around the customer's name, etc. And all that information just gets automatically populated in front of me, rather than me trying to find a proposal, trying to work through my notes. Everything is concise. And as you put it forward as well, if I need to do a presentation on the back of it, all I need to do is just push it to the PowerPoint, and then I have a full presentation based on the proposal I created within minutes, if not seconds, of spending time to you. And if you ever hit a creator's block, you can always ask it to even write you presentation notes of what to speak about.
I think that content creation is really interesting, isn't it? Because I know there's been a lot of criticism that AI is using perhaps old data from maybe a couple of years old, mm-hmm. and when it generates content, it's in a very non-creative way in some mm-hmm. ways. So it's mm-hmm. pulling things together. Some of them there might be some issues sometimes that they're pulling information across that might be copyrighted that we don't mm-hmm. always know about. So I always think when we do things like using ChatGPT or other services, it's a good starting point.
Yes.
But then you've got to sometimes infuse your own style and voice in there. But I can already see, like you've described before, that AI is learning about your brand voice as well. And that kind of difference, that gap is getting closer and closer mm-hmm. to the AI sounding human and not just sounding like they've kind of, someone's just sort of pulled together a few things from copy and pasted from the internet. But of course, as well as, not everyone here obviously is a Microsoft fan, but all of the different companies have their versions, I suppose. You've got Google, I forget, name escapes
Google,
me.
Google, it was Bart, now they change it to Gemini.
Gemini, so there's that. But even some of the softwares, things like Canva, mm-hmm. sometimes things like chatbot softwares, they're starting to use AI now, mm-hmm. aren't they, to generate responses to frequently asked questions or mm-hmm. for doing help support desks. I mean, there's such a range of different ways it's being used. And probably a lot of business owners aren't even realizing they're using AI, just by naturally using something, a tool or a software package that they have.
Correct. And in terms of what we touched on as well, I think ChatGPT on its own is a great place to start your AI journey, just to dip your toes in a bit, understand the prompts, try out a few things. But when it comes to actually using AI tooling within a business use case, I will try to steer people away from using the ChatGPT. The reason behind it is whatever you type into this ChatGPT, it's learning from it, and then it's obviously improving the overall service. What's critical is it's learning from your sensitive business information. So it's okay to use it at a personal level, perhaps to learn the ropes around it. But when it comes to a business use case, something more secure like the Microsoft Copilot, which is effectively the ChatGPT on steroids, but has the security barriers around it that whatever you type stays within your organization's IP limit, so it doesn't train the model itself. And this is a very crucial thing, actually. Researchers at Google recently found out it takes about £200 to reverse engineer whatever information someone typed into ChatGPT. So if you put their sensitive information, let's say salaries or contracts, proposals, etc., that can actually be reverse engineered if you were to be using the public model.
And I do feel then that Microsoft are winning the AI race in terms of office productivity.
Winning is a big term, but they're clearly the leading brand now. And that comes to, they own actually 49% of ChatGPT. OpenAI is the parent company. Microsoft owns 49% of that. So that's been the kickstart of their journey. And on top of it, the Office 365 had been the most major, the largest office productivity suite that been used in the business world. And when you add to other products they have, such as Fabric, which is for sort of larger enterprises and data, they have many products that not necessarily only for the end user, but also for larger organizations that bring that productivity to the full front.
So someone thinking, right, I know I need to start learning about AI and start using it more. You mentioned ChatGPT is good as a starting point to kind of self-learn a little bit about the logic behind it. What's a good resource for people to read or to look at that gives them a bit of an insight into how they can start applying or start thinking to apply AI in their own business?
So if you're a LinkedIn user, there is a page called Generative AI. That is actually being run by the creators of ChatGPT. It's a great place to start, both for more in-depth prompts and also for beginner stuff as well, just to understand what else can be done. But actually, the best way of learning, in my opinion, is the ChatGPT itself, because if you ask the chatbot, how are you doing this, how are you generating this, if you ask it to explain how it done that, it actually explains to you.
Oh, wow, I love that.
Yeah, and it's just self-learning and self-teaching to you. So if you didn't like the particular answer, for example, or it wasn't necessarily your thing that you're asking for, if you ask the chatbot, how did you come up with this answer, it will reverse engineer the process it done to you so you can understand where the thing has gone wrong. So next time around when you're trying it, you can always improve it. But it's trial and learn, really.
So tell me about some of the results that Assured Digital Technologies have been getting for their clients in terms of AI.
So in terms of AI, we got a monthly blog post as a free resource that we offer to public just to learn about what's going on in the Microsoft world and AI world. Also, we host monthly webinars about usage of AI and implementing it on small to medium enterprises. And in terms of the clients, again, AI is quite a new thing, so there's a lot of up-and-coming exciting projects that we're working on. But one of them that I'm really passionate is about a small manufacturing business based in Bristol. And what we're doing for them is they have a dedicated staff member now that spends about 2 to 3 days per week basically manually copying information throughout various systems like Excel, the CRM, Sage, and other tools that they use. And this person is spending about 2 to 3 days full-time basically copy-pasting information, doing basic admin tasks. And this system is really prone to human error. Things can go wrong. A lot of people have access to it. There's been incidents that deliveries have been messed up because someone accidentally mistyped it or deleted the information. So what we're doing now is actually streamlining that entire operation with an AI tooling and automation. So now whenever a new order comes in, it automatically populates everything. And then the delivery people, the workshop people, everyone else involved in that organization know what they need to do without actually going to the master document and editing it, eliminating all that human error, as well as improving the business efficiency.
And also, it makes people's lives more interesting, their work lives, because, you know, who really wants to be doing data entry and transcriptions? You know, it's not really interesting work. And I think if we can leverage AI to do that kind of stuff, and then we can be more creative in our job roles and more fulfilling, I think that's a really great thing. So how can businesses get in touch with you and with Assured Digital Technologies?
So you can always check our website and blog at assureddigitaltech.com. I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. I only spend about 18 hours a day on LinkedIn. So you can find me at Cemzekai, that's Cemzekai. Feel free to just drop me a line, and I'm always happy to chat about it. And always regularly post about AI stuff as well.
Thank you, Cem, for sharing your business wisdom with us today.
Thank you, Neil, for having me.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Please hit subscribe to get notified of future episodes of the Business Wisdom Show. And please do leave a review. I'd love to hear from you. You can check out the show notes for info and links from today's episode. One of the single biggest success factors for business is networking. Done well, it speeds up your growth. Having a supportive group of peers not only helps you avoid some of the pitfalls, but also opens up your perspectives and creates real opportunities. Leading a business can be a lonely place, and it's this isolation that often stops progress. It's why most businesses fail in their first 5 years. At Zocket, we have a network of hubs that create a support structure of growth-minded business leaders, and we'd love to invite you to be part of this thriving community to skyrocket your business. Head over to zocket.co.uk where you can request a free guest pass to one of our online events, accessible from anywhere you can get on Zoom, or book a ticket to meet in person at our mixers in Cardiff and Bristol. Hey, you may even want to launch a hub in your own area. Tune in next time. This is me, your host, Neil J. Lloyd, wishing you the best in business. This podcast is brought to you by Zocket Business Hubs and BC Media. The lead producers are Neil J. Lloyd and Jake Weller.